Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Chaos erupts in Manhattan on the seventh day of protests over the killing of George Floyd.
President Trump threatens military use in the streets and berates governors for their response to the unrest.
A peaceful rally outside the White House gets broken up with tear gas to clear the way for a presidential photo op.
Governor Cuomo believes protests could accelerate the virus spread. Plus, barring a setback, New York City is on track for reopening next week. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The debate continues on how many teams would be in the NBA playoffs. Baseball owners now willing to pay players their full salaries, but only if it's a much shorter season.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers Mutual Fund Marketplace. Clients from over 200 countries and territories have access to over 21,000 no-load and 8,300 no-transaction-fee funds. Learn more at ibkr.com/funds.
And futures are on the rise this morning. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 173. And NASDAQ futures up 68. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is up 3.5%. The CAC in Paris up 1.8%. And the FTSE 100 is up 1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.2%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.7%, up 94 cents at $36.38 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $17.50.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1177 against the dollar. The yen at 107.74. Nathan.
Karen, we begin on the streets of Manhattan where chaos erupted overnight. New York's first curfew in 70 years failed to stop violence and looting across the city. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us from the streets of New York with the very latest.
Well, Nathan, the day started with peaceful protesters, demonstrators chanting in parks across Manhattan. But as night fell, the chaos descended on the city as the 11 p.m. curfew went into effect. Police responded to numerous reports of groups smashing windows and emptying their contents. The doors of Macy's flagship store on 34th Street were breached. Storefront windows were smashed near Rockefeller Center, while police made dozens of arrests outside Radio City Music Hall. Peaceful protesters were seen arguing with looters, urging them to stop, but vandalism and smash-and-grab thefts mounted as the night went on. Now, enough of the mayhem happened before the 11 p.m. curfew that Mayor Bill de Blasio is pushing the deadline up to 8 p.m. tonight. In Midtown, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. As protests across the country raged for a seventh day, curfews were imposed in at least 40 cities. Now, President Trump is threatening military use.
I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights.
The president says if governors and mayors can't quell the unrest, he'll take it upon himself.
If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
So far, the National Guard has been deployed in more than 20 states.
And as the president spoke, police were clearing protesters across from the White House in Lafayette Park to make way for a photo op. Martin DeCaro reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Before a 7 p.m. curfew, police in riot gear unleashed tear gas and concussion grenades to scatter peaceful protesters. President Trump then strode across Pennsylvania Avenue to pose for photos, Bible in hand, in front of historic St. John's Episcopal Church, which had been damaged in the unrest he vowed to crush with the U.S. military.
I am outraged.
Marianne Edgar Buddy is the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington.
Antithetical to the teachings of Jesus and everything that our churches stand for.
In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
right, Martin, thank you. Before his remarks in the Rose Garden and that photo op, the president held a private call with governors. He used the video conference to berate state leaders for what he called their weak approach to the violence. Bloomberg News obtained a recording of that call, and here's what he said.
You have to dominate. If you don't dominate, you're wasting your time. They're going to run over you. You're going to look like a bunch of jerks. You have to dominate. And you have to arrest people, and you have to try people. And they have to go to jail for long periods of time.
The president went on to tell governors, quote, most of you are weak. He went on to threaten to override their authority in the states they govern.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker had some pointed words after that meeting. The Republican governor didn't hold back in his criticism of the commander-in-chief.
I know I should be surprised when I hear incendiary words like this from him, but I'm not. At so many times during these past several weeks, when the country needed compassion and leadership the most, it was simply nowhere to be found. Instead, we got bitterness, combativeness, and self-interest. That's not what we need in Boston. It's not what we need right now in Massachusetts. And it's definitely not what we need across this great country of ours either.
Governor Charlie Baker went on to call George Floyd's death a horrible tragedy.
Meantime, an autopsy commissioned by Floyd's family found he died of asphyxiation due to neck and back compression after a Minneapolis police officer knelt on his neck for several minutes. We spoke with Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota following the release of those findings.
I am not surprised by this information, and it will add to the evidence I believe that we need in order to hold these four former Minneapolis police officers accountable.
The family autopsy differs from the official one that's part of a criminal complaint against the officer. That one included the effects of being restrained, along with underlying health issues and potential intoxicants in Floyd's system, but said it found nothing to support a diagnosis of traumatic asphyxia or strangulation. Futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 172, and NASDAQ futures up 66. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. 6:07 is the time now on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he wants protesters over the death of George Floyd to do so smartly without setting the state back on its COVID-19 progress. Cuomo says that the state, including New York City, is on track to reopen slowly, but doesn't want the spread of the virus to be undone.
We're talking about reopening in 1 week. In New York City. And now we're seeing these mass gatherings over the past several nights that could, in fact, exacerbate the COVID-19 spread.
Cuomo said that with New York City set to begin reopening June 8th, it won't know if there's a new spike in cases for weeks because that is the nature of COVID-19. Mayor Bill de Blasio says while looting and violence underscored some protests, he was encouraged by community members who are promoting nonviolence and peace.
I heard both with my own ears, saw with my own eyes, community members saying, we are going to set the tone for any protest. Not folks who are not from our community, not folks who want to do violence.
Meanwhile, Governor Cuomo says the number of deaths, hospitalizations, and new cases in the state from COVID-19 continue to drop. Cuomo reported 54 new coronavirus-related deaths in the last 24 hours. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says his state is about to embark on the second phase of its reopening plan later this month.
And assuming that we do not see a precipitous backslide that would put the brakes to our plans, and we reserve that right, we will enter stage two on Monday, June 15th.
Murphy says restaurants will be able to open for outdoor service on June 15th, and barbershops and hair salons will reopen a week later. President Trump's impact on the Republican Party will be tested in a handful of House primary contests today. Nine-term Iowa Republican Steve King, a controversial conservative and Trump loyalist, faces four challengers and opposition from several GOP groups. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on QuickTake by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
All right, good morning, Nathan. The baseball labor dispute has become like a game of ping pong every day, one side or the other leaking out their latest offer. And right now the focus is on how many games would be played in the shortened season. The original MLB offer was 82. The players who would basically be paid by the game countered with 114. Now the latest owner's offer is to play as few as 50 games, but they would pay players their full salary based on that number. A 50-game regular season would shatter the record for fewest ever. In the 1981 strike season, teams played just over 100. Thursday is when we may hear the official NBA playoff plan, with most expecting a 22-team field. Top 10 getting the first round by the NHL is going with 24 teams. The NHL says when play resumes, everyone will be tested daily. The PGA Tour back next week in Texas, encouraging all players and caddies to do at-home testing before arriving. The NBA's all-time leading scorer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, always with thoughtful comments on what's going on in the world. Kareem on ESPN.
I know people are now awake to how horrible institutionalized racism is, and that it is a problem that needs to be fixed now, somehow, and we have to start talking about it now. This is urgent.
Kareem's father was a New York City transit cop, the next one of only two NBA teams to not issue a statement after the death of George Floyd. Yesterday came an email to MSG employees. It read that MSG is not any more qualified than anyone else to offer our opinion on social matters. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. We're keeping an eye on oil this morning with word that Russia and other nations are said to favor a one-month extension of record production curbs by OPEC+. Right now, West Texas Intermediate crude is at $36.41 a barrel. That's a gain of 2.75%. Brent, the international benchmark, also higher by 2.75%, up $1.05, $39.37 for a barrel of Brent. Futures on Wall Street moving higher. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 176. NASDAQ futures a gain of 67 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Anshin. COVID-19 impacts your business, and Anshin accountants and advisors are here to help navigate the growing relief and resources available to your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on QuickTake by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and Asia rose along with U.S. stock index futures, which are on the rise as investors look past worsening social unrest in the U.S. to positive signs on stimulus in the global economy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 17 points. Dow futures up 172. NASDAQ futures up 59. The DAX in Germany is up 3.8%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.8%, up 99 cents at $36.43 a barrel. COMEX gold is down less than a tenth of a percent. It's little changed at $17.49.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.1174 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2563. And the yen is at 107.77. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, New York City imposed a late-night curfew, but it failed to prevent another night of widespread damage, including looting and arrests. Bloomberg's John Tucker is on the streets in Manhattan and joins us for this live report.
Yeah, Michael, it was about 11 last night. The Home Depot on 3rd Avenue, that was attacked by a group, mostly young kids. Security video shows police moving in and chasing that crowd away. Now, as daylight breaks here in Midtown, the curfew's lifted. We can see evidence of other damage here. The Victoria's Secret across the street from where I am, completely trashed on the inside. The Container Store at the corner of 58th at Lexington, the front window smashed there. That had a cash register on the street, or the remnants of that. That has now been cleaned up. So as the daylight comes to Midtown, the cleanup begins. We're live in Midtown. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you very much, sir. President Donald Trump threatened to deploy the U.S. military to end riots and lawlessness across the country as federal officers dispersed demonstrators just outside the White House gates. President Trump last night called on governors and mayors to dominate the streets. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's almost 6:20 now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Sam Stovall is with us now, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA. I don't know if you'd call this evidence of the divide between Wall Street and Main Street, Sam, but it does certainly seem like markets are looking past all the unrest of the last several days. Does that surprise you at all?
Well, I guess a little bit, because I do focus on the here and now, but also when I make comparisons to history, then it does remind me that Wall Street tends to look beyond this, realizing that we are part of a global economy, and especially with all of the stimulus injected by the Fed, by Congress, as well as overseas central banks, et cetera, that I can see then why the market is looking beyond this short-term valley.
How long does this last? I mean, do you see the rally as being sustainable, given all the support from central banks and from the fiscal side as well?
Well, the momentum certainly implies that there is staying power. When I look to the fundamentals, of course, that causes a bit of a concern, even if you compare the current P.E. ratio on forward 12-month earnings with where we were right after the bear market that ended in March of 2009 or the bear market that ended in October of 2002. We're trading at a 60 and a 35% respective premium to those numbers at around the time where we are today. So I think that Wall Street expects the economies to rebound more quickly than the fundamentals are showing, and ditto for corporate profits.
Yeah, I wonder, though, whether what we're seeing, all this unrest right now, whether that affects the speed of the recovery here when you have a lot of businesses, particularly small and medium-sized businesses, potentially, you know, waiting to reopen until the dust settles.
True. Well, I think that, you know, that could end up being a change in time, but you could also then say, not from a cynic's perspective, but more from somebody who realizes that in order to get the economy back to where it was, we're going to have to now spend more money in order to repair what was destroyed. So such as after a hurricane or a natural catastrophe, where money does go in to replace depreciated assets, the market is now looking and saying, okay, it's unfortunate that we have this unrest, but in order to rebuild, we will have to spend money as well.
You mentioned that the markets seem to be unmoored in a lot of ways from the fundamentals of many of these businesses. At what point do you think that that divergence comes back together and investors start to look more closely at the fundamentals of these companies?
Well, I think if we don't end up seeing better than expected results for Q2 GDP growth, which right now is anticipated to be down 37% versus the 38% that our economists thought just last week. Also, if we think that corporate profits are not going to come in at minus 44% for Q2, according to S&P Capital IQ consensus estimates, then, you know, if we're not seeing it go in the right direction, then Wall Street could end up deciding, maybe this is going to take a little bit longer. But based on construction spending, the ISM purchasing managers' manufacturing numbers yesterday, which came in better than anticipated, we're going to continue to look for numbers that will support the direction of the market.
About a minute left here, Sam. What about the risk of tensions with the U.S. and China? I mean, the president didn't go as far on the crackdown with Hong Kong as many thought he might have. Has that sort of taken the tensions down a bit?
I think it has. We had a bit of anxiety leading up to his press conference last week, but once it concluded and we heard that there were not going to be additional pressures put on China regarding phase one and causing that to come under question, then I think Wall Street breathed a sigh of relief and said, okay, that little flare-up has now been subsided and we really don't have to worry too much.
Thanks, as always, for being with us, Sam. Good talking with you this morning. Sam Stovall is Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA. And taking a look at the markets this morning, it is a risk on with S&P futures higher by 17 points. Dow futures up 172. NASDAQ futures higher by 59 points following European equities that are showing strong gains this morning. The 10-year's down 5/32, yield 0.67% on a 10-year note. Two-year Treasury yield is at 0.15%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. 6:25 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties. For investor partners, see them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Chaos erupted on the streets of Manhattan overnight. New York's first curfew in 70 years failed to stop violence and looting across the city. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us from the streets of New York with the very latest.
As the 11 p.m. curfew went into effect, police responded to numerous reports of groups smashing windows. The doors of Macy's flagship store at 34th Street were breached. Storefront windows were smashed near Rockefeller Center, while police made dozens of arrests outside Radio City Music Hall. Peaceful protesters were seen arguing with looters, urging them to stop, but vandalism and smash-and-grab thefts mounted as the night went on. Now, enough of the mayhem happened before the 11 p.m. curfew that Mayor Bill de Blasio is pushing the deadline up to 8 p.m. tonight. In Midtown, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. As protests across the country raged for a seventh day, curfews were imposed in at least 40 cities. Now, President Trump's threatening to use the military, saying if governors and mayors can't quell the unrest, he'll take it upon himself.
If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
So far, the National Guard has been deployed in more than 20 states.
On the corporate front, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg hosted a nearly hour-long video call with civil rights leaders. They discussed ongoing issues around the company's policies related to race. But according to Color of Change President Brashad Robinson, participants were left disappointed. He said Zuckerberg, quote, lacks the ability to understand why there's a problem.
Meantime, stocks are largely shrugging off unrest across the country. U.S. futures are following European equities higher, stocks in Asia posted gains overnight, and oil is advancing, with Brent crude approaching $40 a barrel, a mark it hasn't reached since March.
And let's get you up to date on how those futures are doing right now. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 18 points. Dow futures up 179. NASDAQ futures up 60. The DAX in Germany is up 3.9%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 0.67%. Yield in the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8% right now, up 99 cents at $36.43 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed at $17.50 an ounce. The Euro 1.1168 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's concerned that recent gatherings of protesters angry at the death of George Floyd will lead to a spike in COVID-19 cases. Cuomo is urging protesters to be smart.
We have to take a minute and ask ourselves, what are we doing here? What are we trying to accomplish?
An NYPD sergeant was seriously hurt in the Bronx during looting. Cuomo says his state is making real progress on COVID-19, with some regions upstate ready to reopen even more.
Five regions upstate have entered phase two. That's good news. Western New York is expected to move to phase two tomorrow.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says his state is about to embark on the second phase of its reopening plan later this month. Murphy says restaurants will be able to open for outdoor service on June 15th, and barbershops and hair salons will reopen a week later. But he also says the COVID-19 metrics still indicate that residents need to practice social distancing and wear a face covering. The death of a black man while in Minneapolis police custody was officially ruled a homicide by the Hennepin County Medical Examiner. Results from the Floyd family's private autopsy were also released yesterday. Dr. Michael Badden conducted the autopsy and says George Floyd died from asphyxiation. He says there's a common misconception about breathing and talking.
When he said, "I can't breathe," unfortunately, many police are under the impression if you can talk, that means you're breathing. That is not true. I am talking and talking and talking and not breathing in front of you.
An Illinois man is charged with traveling to Minnesota, then to Chicago, to participate in riots. Heavy job losses are expected to persist through 2020 and into next year in some of America's biggest swing states, providing a crucial challenge for President Trump's reelection campaign. States that depend on tourism and manufacturing are suffering some of the worst employment declines since the COVID-19 pandemic took hold in March. Among them, battleground states, including Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Nevada. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Well, Nathan, we know the 2020 baseball season will be shortened, but with the latest proposal by the owners, you wonder if the season would be even worth it. As few as 50 games, their feeling is without fans, the more games they play, the more money they lose. Even though Commissioner Rob Manfred said recently that if they don't play at all, baseball will lose $4 billion. The original MLB offer to the union was 82 games, but with reduced pay, if it's shortened to 50, they would pay players their full salaries, but based on that number of games. The players want to play 114 games, so the two sides nowhere close to an agreement that must be met before baseball can start the season. How many teams will be in the NBA playoffs? Normally 16. It's expected to expand. Some say for symbolic reasons it's important to resume the season with all 30 teams, and even the Knicks. But the NBA Board of Governors expected on Thursday to approve a 22-team playoff field. The legal dispute between former Mets Ron Darling and Lenny Dykstra is over. Darling wrote a book alleging that Dykstra hurled racial epithets at Boston's oil can Boyd in the 1986 World Series. Dykstra sued for libel and defamation. The judge just threw the suit out based on Dykstra's sketchy past, including two stints in jail. The judge in his ruling said Dykstra was infamous for being a racist and for being willing to do anything to benefit himself. Boxing champ Floyd Mayweather says he will pay for George Floyd's funeral. Former Auburn football coach Pat Dye has passed away at 80. He had kidney issues. He also had coronavirus. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
$1 trillion of corporate bonds today, downgrades tomorrow. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The amount of new debt issued this year in the U.S. investment-grade corporate bond market reached $1 trillion at by far the fastest pace in history. The implications of that milestone depend on how you look at it. For businesses that have been ravaged by the coronavirus pandemic, access to capital markets was a lifeline to get through the worst of the economic collapse. Until the Fed stepped in with extraordinary support for credit markets, averting widespread failures was far from guaranteed. But what about the longer-term view? Here, the rampant borrowing paints a more sobering picture. A record 1,287 issuers worldwide rated by S&P were considered at risk of potential downgrade. Moreover, the rating agencies have been slow to react to high leverage metrics. In the years ahead, the overhang from this issuance spree will inevitably weigh down credit ratings. If the first 5 months of 2020 are any indication, bondholders will have to get comfortable with even more bloated balance sheets and the prospect of further credit downgrades. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. 6:38 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
Scientists from a team of institutions led by George Washington University are studying air pollution during the coronavirus pandemic. Researchers think the findings could offer new insight into the amount of pollution that comes from cars and trucks and validate or challenge the science used to regulate vehicle emissions. Until now, most emission testing has been done in laboratories. Scientists say major cities have seen a 30% decline on average in nitrogen dioxide levels, with passenger vehicle use cut roughly in half. Industry groups will be skeptical of any attempt by policymakers to use the study in crafting new regulations. The American Trucking Association says many variables have to be considered, including the role of reduced congestion. Trucks are spending less time idling in traffic, and wait times at international borders are shorter. The Environmental Protection Agency is independently collecting air quality data during the pandemic. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. Now some other stories we're following. Shares of MoneyGram are up more than 38% in early trading. Bloomberg News has learned Western Union is seeking to acquire the company. A transaction would bring together two of the largest U.S. money transfer service providers. Delta is trying to avoid having to lay off pilots. It's negotiating with the pilots union after determining it has 2,300 more than it needs. The union says it has discussed voluntary exit options with Delta. The airline has drastically cut its schedule due to weak demand. And in Europe, shares of Lufthansa are higher by almost 4% this morning. The airline overcame most barriers to receiving a $10 billion bailout from the German government. Lufthansa has agreed to hand over operating slots at its main hubs in exchange for EU support for the deal. Continuing to watch oil prices, with word Russia and other nations have agreed to a one-month extension of record OPEC Plus production cuts. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 2.75% or 97 cents at $36.41 a barrel. Brent is higher by 2.9% or $1.11 at $39.43. S&P futures higher by 17 points. Dow futures up 171. NASDAQ futures a gain of 55 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump threatens a military crackdown on protests as a handful of states hold primaries today. We'll get the latest from the nation's capital next with Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are rising alongside stocks in Europe and Asia as investors look past worsening social unrest in the U.S. to positive signs on stimulus and the global economy. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 18 points. Dow futures are up 185. NASDAQ futures up 63. The DAX in Germany is up 4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds. Yield 0.67%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.7%, up 95 cents at $36.39 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $17.49.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1169 against the dollar. British pound 1.2566. And the yen's 107.75. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, New York City imposed a late-night curfew, but it failed to prevent another night of widespread damage, including looting and arrests. Bloomberg's John Tucker is on the streets in Manhattan and joins us for this live report.
Yeah, Michael, on 2nd Avenue in front of a Dunkin' Donuts, an ATM machine was toppled over on the sidewalk. Vandals broke that open. On Lexington Avenue, the inside of a Victoria's Secret, that looks trashed. Garments were strewn across the floor. A couple of 2x4s, they're now wedged into the door handles to keep them shut. A container store has its windows smashed here. Pieces of a cash register, they were strewn on the street. Bloomingdale's, that remains boarded up with plywood. Now, security video shows the bulk of the damage here at least was carried out by a group of youngsters, probably around high school age. And now the cleanup is underway. We're live on Lexington Avenue. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Michael.
John, thank you very much, sir. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include the Pentagon sending up to 800 National Guard troops to Washington, bolstering police after nights of protest. Joe Biden giving a speech later today in Philadelphia to comment on the unrest, and the president's control of the Republican Party to be tested in a handful of primary elections today. Also making news, of course, the president threatening to send troops across the country to stop, in his words, riots and lawlessness. Kathleen Hunter joins us now, U.S. politics editor for Bloomberg News. We've been talking about this hard line that the president has been taking to the protests over the killing of George Floyd. What exactly is the president saying he will do?
Well, essentially, the president has said that he will deploy the army, essentially, you know, federal troops to put down what he's characterized as this lawlessness and rioting in U.S. cities if he doesn't feel like the governors of the individual states and the District of Columbia are strong enough in their reaction. And so it's really kind of set up this opposition between local leaders and the federal government as it comes to how to handle these protests. And with Trump really saying, you know, on a conference call yesterday with the governors, not to be quote unquote weak and to really dominate the space, and basically saying if they don't do that, that the federal government will step in.
Now, you mentioned that conference call with the governors yesterday, and Bloomberg News obtained audio of that. It was pretty remarkable to hear that disconnect, I guess you could say, between the president and many of the governors in terms of how they're responding to what's happening on their streets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it really just shows the kind of a difference in philosophy in many cases between these state and these state leaders and Trump, because I think that what we're hearing more from state leaders is more of a nuanced approach, trying to separate out, you know, people that are protesting peacefully from people that might be looting or burning things or being more violent, and wanting to make sure that whatever response is, you know, that is in proportion as they see it to the different types of actions that are out there, and also allow a space for people to continue to peacefully protest. Whereas what we're hearing more from Trump is kind of a bit of a more blanket approach, or at least certainly a more heavy-handed approach, that I think is sparking some concern among the governors about potential ramifications and repercussions if Trump does take that action.
We saw a lot of evidence of that heavy-handed approach with the photo op yesterday that's gotten so much attention, with the president walking to, across Lafayette Park outside the White House to stand in front of a burned-out church, the historic St. John's Church, Church of the Presidents, for a photo op, and tear gassing peaceful protesters on his way. Talk a little bit more about just sort of the optics of how the president is approaching this.
Well, I think it is not an overstatement to say that, you know, the imagery of all of that was really just, you know, astonishing and very, very unusual. You know, everything from seeing the graffitied, you know, barricades that Trump walked past to get out to the church, to, you know, the kind of phalanx of D.C. police officers that lined the walkway that he went on. It was all very unusual, and I think that certainly it has prompted criticism from everyone, from the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, D.C., who's criticized Trump for doing this, to, of course, his 2020 opponent, our presumed 2020 opponent, Joe Biden, and also the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, has come out and said that, you know, the use of tear gas to disperse peaceful protesters outside of the White House, she says, was inappropriate, particularly because it came just before the locked or the curfew that she put in place for 7 p.m. yesterday in D.C., and that, you know, this was at a time when the protesters who were acting peacefully, she says, should have been allowed to remain in that area and certainly should have not been, you know, removed via tear gas. And so I think that it really has kind of upped the ante in terms of the criticism of Trump, but it also shows, you know, how Trump is approaching this in many ways, I think, as he's approached his presidency, you know, with kind of an eye towards reality TV show even, and kind of the drama and the optics of those types of, you know, television shows, and having kind of that dramatic display out there. And keep in mind, this is someone, Nathan, that, you know, wanted to have a military parade for 4th of July. And, you know, so I think that this use of and this show of military force is something that Trump has always seemed to want to promote in the U.S.
Yeah, but much more so now, a show of military force actually being used as opposed to the display of power. And you mentioned how this seems to be feeding into the way this presidency has played out over the last nearly 4 years. And it does seem as though this response is only further hardening the divide between the Democratic and Republican bases in this country. Where does that leave independent voters as we get closer to an election?
Well, I think that's certainly an open question, but a very, very important one, and one that really could prove decisive on Election Day. I think that there is a sense out there, potentially, that independent voters might be deterred from coming to the polls at all. I mean, there was already a question about whether or not this is going to be a base election way back before we had the coronavirus or this civil unrest that we're now seeing. And I think that, you know, the idea that this is going to be an election that could be decided around which side has a more enthusiastic voter base, core base of support, has only become a more pertinent question. You know, people that feel strongly will likely go to the polls, but if you're not feeling strongly or you're feeling disillusioned with both candidates, not only do you now have an incentive to stay home because of, you know, the virus and social distancing measures, you also have questions about civil unrest in the U.S. and whether, you know, these types of public gatherings are going to be dangerous spaces to be in. And so I think it's even more reason to think that perhaps we could have a lower voter turnout, particularly among voters in the middle.
And at a time when that turnout could be determined by whether people drop their ballots in the mail. So much to consider as we get closer to the fall. Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always for the update. Really appreciate it. Karen, we'll send it over to you.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:50. Well, coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a top 100 national university in the latest U.S. News and World Report college rankings. Learn more at news.njit.edu. Now let's see what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Facebook workers are becoming increasingly bold in showing unhappiness with CEO Mark Zuckerberg. They're tweeting out criticism and staging virtual walkouts. Employees are protesting Zuckerberg's decision not to take action on incendiary comments President Trump posted on the site. In response, Zuckerberg says he does not want to be an arbiter of the truth. Several companies are delaying events because of protests across the country. Sony said it's postponing a virtual news conference for its PlayStation 5 game console. Electronic Arts has scrapped an event to introduce the Madden NFL 21 game. And Airbnb said CEO Brian Chesky will not deliver a planned video message to discuss the home rental company's vision for travel. And finally, Amazon shoppers are buying up pepper spray as demonstrations continue across the nation. A $9.50 canister of Sabre pepper spray shot up to the top-selling rank in Amazon's sports and outdoors category. A neck gaiter, which can cover the nose and mouth and became popular during the pandemic, is at number 2. That's your Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. I'm Karen Moscow. Now let's see how stocks are faring this morning. S&P futures up about 18 points. Dow futures up 171. And NASDAQ futures are up 61. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 2.7%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.